Okay, we are on the bottom of Gemara Sota Chesamad Aleph. We're dealing with a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda upon Rabbi Yehuda, which we resolved at the end of the last class we had. The issue was how much of the, when you rip the garment of the woman, how much do you rip and how much do you expose? And Rabbi Yehuda said if she's very good looking, you can't expose so much. Well, the Chumash said the opposite. Then the rabbis made a contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda upon Rabbi Yehuda, where although he says not to expose, but when we're dealing with a woman that gets stoned, you do expose more than the Chachamim said you could expose. Seems to be a contradiction. The Gemara said, no, it's not a contradiction. By a sota, if she'd be exposed, then if she'd be innocent, then the young Kohanim would want to go after her. But a woman who's getting stoned, no matter what, nobody's jealous of a woman who's stoned. So we dealt with the contradiction of Yehuda. But really, the Gemara didn't mention it's a contradiction in the rabbis who argue him in both places, because they're strict in one place and they're lenient in the other. They said that by sota, that if she's good-looking, you don't have to cover it up. All right? You don't have to cover it up. But by the stoning, you cover the woman up more. Gemara now is going to come to that contradiction and deal with that. Amar Rava, says Rava, listen, there really, between the two brises, the Mishnah and the brisa, there is a contradiction of Yehuda upon Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan, Ad Rabbanan, and there was a Drabbanan Lo Kasha, there's no question. In other words, they brought both of the statements, they picked on Rabbi Yehuda to make a contradiction, we had to answer Rabbi Yehuda, the word says, so on Rabbi Yehuda had a question, and on the rabbis, you didn't have a question? They also, because they're the ones arguing him in both places. So it's also a problem. Elam Rava, so Rava answers, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Kasha, on Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Kasha, Kinnashinu, like we answered, on Tuesday, coming up to the top of 9B. And the Rabbanan, Ami Lo Kasha. Now we're going to show you how it's not a contradiction in the rabbis as well. And the two statements are not contradictory. Here in our Mishnah, what did we say? Even if she's very good looking, you don't cover her up. So, Hacha time am I? What's the reason why we don't cover her up as the Sota woman when we're exposing her top part of her body? You know why? Because there's an overall reason. Mishum de'vinasruka anashim. So that the women will be chastised and will not try to imitate her behavior. Part of doing this is because there's other women watching what's happening.
Really?
Yes. What do you mean, really? Yes.
What?
There are women there too. And the women, you don't think she has friends? You know, the word gets out, man. Can you imagine? When the word gets out that Chaim Yankel's taking Sprint Sachana to the Beis HaMikdash as a Sota woman, boy, all the ladies are going to see. You know, all the really frum ladies with the babushkas and everything, the real frum ones, yeah, let's see what's going to happen to her, you know. And then all the women's libbers on the other side, no, we're on her side, blah, blah. You know, it's a whole tumult over there. It's the guy's fault. It's always the guy's fault. You're going to see the woman's going to come out on top. You know, all these things. So we want women to see how, humiliated this woman is that she's doing this. And therefore, there's an issue. People have to see. And even if, and it overrides the fact that maybe the young Kohanim could get a little excited. But what's more important is what the Torah says. The Torah specifically says that the other ladies should learn from this. Although it's a pasuk in Yecheskel, but that's the concept. But when you're stoning a woman, hasam over there, ein lecha yisur gadol mazeh, there's no greater chastisement for a woman who's getting stoned. We need not do more. Once she's stoned, we've got to reveal a little bit more of her body? That's no point. When people will see she's stoned and ripped to shreds, we don't need to do anything more. Okay, you might say, well, let's go all hong, full blown. We're going to stone her and expose her before. Let's make it a double embarrassment. V'chi tema le'avid ba'tarti. So let's do both. Let's humiliate her. If she did such a sin, she needs to get stoned. Let's reveal more of her body, and she'll be humiliated before she dies, humiliated after death. Let's give her the full treatment, maybe. So no, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua. Rav Nachman says the name of Rabba Bar Avua. Amar Kra, the Torah says, and is an interesting application of a pasuk that you know, but now the rabbi makes an interesting application. The Torah says, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, love your neighbor like yourself. Now normally we apply that, people who are alive, and we try to treat them nicely, like yourself. But now he explains it in this context as well. Borur lo, when you have to give someone a capital punishment, you still have to do it in as much of a loving way as possible. So barur lo misa yafa, choose for that person a favorable death, one that is the least humiliating. Now, the Torah tells us what the death penalty is. We don't have a choice in deciding. Hashem, in his all wisdom, knows what's the extent of how the person should die. And when the Torah says the person's first thrown off of a high area and then is pelted with stones, that's God's law. That's not our business to change that. But within the context of that, God also says, love your neighbor like yourself. And if you have to give him the death penalty as prescribed by the Torah, don't do more than what the Torah says. And there's no reason to include humiliation beyond the punishment that the Torah says. And therefore, we don't do anything more of that. So now that becomes very interesting. It would appear that, so now what comes out? It comes out that the rabbis say, so when you stone a woman, we cover up as much of the private parts as possible. And the other position says no. So you think there's a machlokas, maybe one position says we don't apply v'haftarach kamocha to killing a person. Is this what this machlokas, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, is about? Where one says we cover more and one we cover less, do we mean to say that one of them holds of this issue not to give them an embarrassing death? And the other one says, no, we don't care about that. And that's what Gemara suggests. Lema de Rav Nachman Tanoihi. You want to say now that statement, Rav Nachman, to give the person a favorable death, you want to say it's a machlokas Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, who are arguing as to what kind of death we give her. As it says over here, the sages who rule that a woman is stoned while clothed, you want to say they accept the rule we must provide a favorable death? Rabbi Yehuda rules she's unclothed. Do you mean to say he doesn't agree with that dictum? Is that what they want to say? You want to say Rabbi Yehuda considered it important that one says you should give her more embarrassment? Is that a whole machlokes? Where it says, lo, no. The Kuliyamis, or everyone holds Rabbi Nachman, that you have to give her a death that's not humiliating. But they're arguing on a different point. What is a less humiliating, what's a better death to give her? A death clothed or a death unclothed? That which one is a better death? What's the argument? That is the machlokas. They both agree you give her a favorable death. But how do we define a favorable death? Mar Sover Bizuneyotov. One says, the more humiliating it is, that is an unfavorable death, so keep her clothed. The other one says, Tvei mitzare de guve, but there's more considering for the suffering of the body is more important. So in other words, Mar Sover Bizuna Odifle Tvei mitzare de guve. One holds that humiliation is worse than the suffering of the body, and that's the opinion that says we clothe her. Umar Sover, the other one says, no, Tzare de guve Adifle. The pain of the body is more important. We try to lessen that, and that's much more than the humiliation. So what do we mean to say? The answer is, let's see how he explains it. According to the sages, we assume that a person would prefer some physical pain to humiliation. Thus, since it's humiliating for a woman to be publicly exposed, they rule that she's to be clothed when executed. Now here's the thing. When you have clothing on, it takes a little longer for the person to die. And therefore, the death is more prolonged. That's the two issues. You got two, no matter what's going to happen, if she goes fully clothed, it takes a little longer for her to die, because there's a little bit of a cushion, as it were, to what's happening. It could be just a couple seconds, but it makes a difference of the pain. So either way, she's going to suffer more. Either she's going to suffer more, it's going to take a little longer for her to die. That's if she's clothed. If she's unclothed, she'll be humiliated, but she will die quicker. So now that's the machlokas. One says we worry more about her embarrassment. She'd rather not be embarrassed and take a little longer to die. The other being says she'd rather die quicker and forget about the humiliation. So they both agree you pick the best death for her. But they're arguing what is the best death. This death in particular can incorporate humiliation versus speed of death. So therefore, it's a machlokas what that is. Okay, you had a question?
Yeah. Didn't we learn that the Kohanim tear her clothes off long before our verdict is reached? So
No. That there's two issues here. There's stoning.
Yeah, but we're talking about the stoning.
That's the one they're talking about right now.
I know, but humiliation already occurs at that stage.
That's a different case. Maybe I wasn't clear. The sota is one issue. We don't stone a sota. The sota is an issue. The Torah says you have to humiliate her. There, you have to humiliate her. That's part of the deal. The only question is humiliation stronger than the fact going to excite the Kohanim, the young Kohanim? So some say, listen, we don't want to excite the young Kohanim. Others say, no, it's better to humiliate her. That's part of the process. The part of the process of a sota should be humiliated. The Torah is saying we must humiliate her.
But this is already after the conclusion.
Wait. Now, stoning is a different story. Stoning is this woman did an avera. Let's say she was Machal Shabbos.
Okay.
Nothing to do with the sota.
Well, nothing to do with the sota.
That's right. It was Machal Shabbos, and we decided to stone her. Now the question is, this is also an issue of humiliation.
The Torah says she has to drink the water.
We're not up to the waters yet.
No, but that's what it says. So it's like we talked.
It also, yeah.
Where does it say about the humiliation that pasuk and
that the Mishnah? No, the Mishnah tells us this was the procedure, and you see by the from the psukim how he grabs her, and that from the psukim they understand that her garment gets ripped, and part of her body is exposed. Question is. Is that in all situations?
But if she just said, I'll just drink the water. Like, I thought we humiliated her so she would tell the truth.
Yeah,
not to humiliate her for the sake of humiliating her. To set an example.
We tried to dissuade her
from
lying.
Okay, there's two things. There's two things happening at the same time. Number one, she's supposed to be humiliated regardless. Again, let's review that idea. A woman who has been warned by her husband to stay away from a man in seclusion, and she's brazen enough to do that, for that alone, she must be humiliated so other women will not think to do these things. That doesn't matter. Drink the water, not to. Unless, right away, she says she's guilty. If immediately she said, I'm guilty, we're not even going to Yerushalayim, I'm admitting to you, okay. Then that's already humiliating to admit guilt. As you see, no politician will ever admit guilt. It could be his guilt only if you have a picture of them doing it, then they'll say errors were made in my administration. But if the husband says, what were you doing over there? Okay, it's very humiliating for her to come clean. Since she's already humiliated herself, there's no need to go to Yerushalayim, there's nothing to do.
Now but
if she
killed,
says,
right?
No, she doesn't get killed.
No, even if she admits her crime.
Again, if a person, you do not punish a person for their self-admission. You never, in fact, a capital crime, if a person confesses and there's no witnesses to the crime. The only witness is that she was in seclusion. There was no witnesses that saw what happened.
So,
if a woman just tells her husband, I want you to know, I've been unfaithful to you. Shkoyach. Okay, the husband believes her, he can divorce her. We cannot kill her because you can't kill someone on their own admission.
And the man, what? And the man?
What about the man? That's not a capital crime for a man to do that. Unless the man does it with a married woman. Now we kill him too. Okay? So, but the point being, now the husband says, what happened over there? She says, I was innocent. You're innocent, I don't believe you. Now, at this point, no matter what, the fact that she went into seclusion after his warrant was already a eujungus chutzpah. And you still think you're innocent? So first of all, and you didn't want to come clean. So first of all, just for doing the act, that itself, you deserve some humiliation. You need some kapara, even if you're an innocent. You're not that innocent if you went and did that, no matter what.
But if she drinks the water, she's being humiliated by just drinking the water. You don't have
to know.
Why? Drinking the water is not humiliating.
Because if you go drink the water, it means that you were in seclusion with the guy. Everybody knows you.
No, I mean, you're
well, no, there were two witnesses. Once there's two witnesses, everybody knows anyway.
Yeah.
So she's already humiliated.
No. There's levels of humiliation. There's one level of humiliation, she went and dissed her husband, and she went and did against her husband. That's level one. There's two witnesses saying that. People are talking about it. Okay, but that's not enough. If you want to admit now, that would be a humiliation too. Then we're finished. We don't have to deal with you anymore. People know about it, and you agree to it. That's probably one of the most humiliating things a person can do. you're still saying you're innocent. Now, we don't know. Could be you're a liar. Could be you're telling the truth. You put us in a position where we don't know. Now, you never had to be in that position if you wouldn't have gone into seclusion. You know, you sound like a defense attorney, Shelley, and you're trying to defend her, but you're not. We're forgetting. Got to get out of the liberal-minded world we're in. If a woman goes into seclusion when a man has two witnesses and warns her, don't you dare do this. This will compromise her. She said, I don't give a damn. Well, that speaks volumes about that woman, even if all they did was play checkers.
It's not an accident.
Right? So now, you've got to be humiliated to some extent once you've done that, depending on how bad you were. Now, if she was just playing, so if she really did a terrible act, well, and she's admitting she's innocent, well, we have to humiliate her and do all their best. Even if she's innocent and she does, and she wants to stay married, she still has to go through a humiliation process, so she'll, no one will ever think, and she should never think to do it again. Okay? On top of that, we try if, because since we don't know the truth, we know one thing's for sure. She acted like a dishonorable woman regardless. Like only the question is how much. Yeah. That's the only issue. It's clear. She acted like a terrible woman. Again, you've got to accept that fact. Now, the only question is how terrible was she? So within our ability of our lack of certainty, we have to humiliate her to the point that if you're innocent, you've gone through this enough humiliation. If you're guilty, maybe you're going to back out of this. And we're begging her, back out of this, back out of this. She says, no, okay, now we're going to now write the whole thing, scratch out God's name. Thanks, what we have to do, because of what you did, we're scratching out God's name. We still don't know what to search, but she still has to go through more humiliation. They rip her garment or take her, uncover her hair. Very humiliating for women. But she's innocent. She's innocent. Too bad. That's part of the kapara for not listening to your husband. Right? And therefore, that means exposing your body. Well, that's in those days, it was a humiliating thing. And you have that coming to you. And you know what? When you go to Beis Yaakov and you're learning the Parshas Naso, they go through the Parshas Naso and say, listen, girls, just want you to know, don't make it, oh, if I would have known. They teach this to all you little Jewish girls that, you know, you would never want to do anything like that, blah, blah, blah. And in spite of all that learning and in spite of all that teaching, she decides to be brazen. Well, you decide to be brazen. Now these are the consequences. We got to stop that kind of thing. We don't want other women to think that this is something that should be done. You know, oh, look, woman can do what they want, so I guess any woman can. And that's what happens in today's society, since we don't really condemn people doing things evil, so then it's fine for everybody to do this. Right? So once the waters have been etched, the parsha's been etched out, and so now she's got to be more humiliated, okay? You say, but she's innocent. Doesn't matter. You realize what this is going to do. When you went into that room with that man, you know if you're innocent, you're going to have to drink that water. We're going to have to etch out God's name. You didn't care about God's name. You didn't care about nobody when you did that. So at that point, but I'm innocent. You're not an innocent lady if you went that far. The only question is, how guilty are you? How much of a X type of a woman are you? And therefore, you need kapara for that. Yes. Right? Then, if after going through all that, and at the end of the day, you stayed faithful, quote unquote, at least on a physical level, then the waters will bless you.
You got a baby.
Then the waters will bless you.
No guarantee.
And if not,
no, there's nothing wrong.
A man can always divorce her, but he should have divorced her beforehand by then. If you were upset that she was, you know, so you should have divorced her by then. If the water says she came clean, she suffered enough, and most likely she's done a little bit of tshuva in this process. You know, because now the husband has been told by God, okay, she's been faithful. And after all that humiliation, she can come a little meekly back home. And the husband, you know the guy, this guy wants to win, right? Once the guy won and Hashem stamped his approval, she meekly goes on. First of all, what honorable man would want to have any business with her, A? B, and husband now, okay, you put her through this. She's come clean. She's probably done tshuva. And now we can restore the matrimonial harmony that was in the home. And that's the system. Okay, I can imagine if we would have to impose this law in Canada, oh boy, my parliament be going nuts. But it's a much more decent system than Sharia law. Can you imagine what does the Muslim code say if a woman would have just gone into seclusion? They cut them all both to pieces in 1 second. Right?
Well, they put them in the pit up to their...
Whatever, and that's what they would do.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. The Torah
says you're supposed to humiliate people who are sinners. People should learn. That was the pasuk he quoted in Isaiah. That says the women have to see and learn.
But it says that, but it doesn't say that particularly.
No, it says he takes the woman, he uncovers her hair. Torah says this.
He uncovers her hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Torah says on once,
yeah.
No, but the way Gemara deduces, by the way, it says he takes her from the expression of that they under Gemara under where knows it's not. Rabbis aren't making this up. The Torah writes it as cryptically as possible because the Torah writes everything cryptically. How do you know there's 39 prohibited laws on Shabbos? You don't know that from the Torah. Hashem told Moshe there's 39 laws. Hashem told Moshe she's to be humiliated. Yes, yes. That's what we're saying. The only question, the debate is, what's the extent of the humiliation versus the young Kohanim who are there? Okay, that's another aspect, but she is clearly to be humiliated. There's no question about it.
How do we learn that if the husband's been unfaithful?
We got to get to this. We're not up to there yet. The Gemara will get to it. It's a long Masechta. The Gemara will discuss the issue too, that if the husband's been unfaithful, the waters won't work either.
But she has to go through all this humiliation.
Well, the husband is not likely to take her to the waters.
Oh, because he's at risk, right? You
know, no, I'm just saying, it's not likely a husband who has not been... We'll see.
Both unfaithful, and remember, they're both unfaithful.
The waters ain't going to work together. And the wife's going to say, what are you drinking a cup? You know all the affairs I know about you that you've had? And you're going to take me? What are you going to take me for?
Yeah.
What are you going to take me for?
Both unfaithful, they won't bother with each other.
It's not good, but it'll prove that he was okay. But she can go to find witnesses that he was unfaithful.
Yeah.
You know, let's leave the Masechta to get to that issue. Yeah. Masechta is going to get to first of all, what's going to happen to the guy who went with her into the thing.
You have to also
remember that guy dies the same moment she dies if they were unfaithful.
Right. Wow.
So that guy is probably putting a lot of pressure on this woman to confess, right? He would confess, but that's only one person, and we'll see. We'll have to see. There's a lot more going on in here. There's a lot of ways to this to get out of it till it eventually happens. We said it's an opinion. We'll see. We got to leave that all. I know it's all interesting, but let's do tomorrow. I got to give you a reason to come back next week.
It's queasy.
We're right now focusing on the woman now.
Yeah,
we will deal with the men at another Gemara. It's okay. We'll deal with the men. But right now we're dealing with the woman. Okay, now let's take another look at what we would do. The Mishnah continues and said, Hoyse mechusa levanim, if she was wearing white clothes, which is really nice, so we change her clothes when she's there and give her black, yachi-looking clothes. Gemara says, Tana. Gemara says, wait a minute. What if she had beautiful black clothes? You know, people have nice styles, and you can make a beautiful black dress. Then mechasin also begadim mechorim. Then we change her into unbecoming clothing. We just give her shmatas to wear. That's also part of the humiliation process. Hoyaleh kleizov. The Mishnah then says, what if she's wearing gold ornaments, jewelry? Well, we take them off to disgrace her further. Whereas Hashem is saying we disgrace her, and the tradition that Hashem told Moshe, you know, and these are the parameters, and it could be the rabbis had a certain leeway in terms of what they felt in their generation was a disgrace. Okay, the Gemara is saying, in our generation, a disgrace would be you take off her jewelry. Right? It could be now, it would be a different thing, whatever. So that's part of the rabbis. In every mitzvah of the Torah, God says, I let you make the final nitty-gritty detailed decisions as it is most appropriate in your generation. So now we take off the jewelry. So now Gemara is going to ask a simple question. If we've done everything else, I mean, it's obvious you take off the jewelry. You even have to say that? We've humiliated her to such a point, we're going to say, oh, and by the way, we take off her jewelry? I mean, that would be the... that goes should be unsaid. But Gemara says, no, it's not so simple. So first Gemara asks, Pshita, that's obvious. It's obvious to remove her jewelry. Gemara says, no. Part of the question still. Hashta navule navule. Since the coin makes her look repulsive by tearing her garment, unbraiding her hair, and all this stuff, is there a question about the jewelry? Hani mi boy, is there a question that's necessary to tell us to take off the jewelry? Moore says, no, because I might think there might be a reason to think we would keep the jewelry on. Why? Because Mao the same, I might have thought it's possible. Bahani Esel Bizoyan Tfei, she'd be more disgraced if she has her ornaments on with no clothes. You know? And that was what? Did you ever have a source of that, guys? Megillas Esther, where Achashverosh asked that Esther, that Vashti should come what? It says that the queen should come with her crown.
Crown only,
So now, ornaments are supposed to make you look dignified. Now, you got those ornaments that are making you dignified and you're undignified. So we would think that would be a bigger embarrassment to leave the ornaments on and she's disrobed. As it says, Kida Amri, and she has people say, Shaliach Artil Visoyim Misone. He is stripped of clothing yet wearing shoes. In other words, people ridicule an unclothed person who insists on wearing shoes. Since that's very bizarre behavior. If you're already unclothed, what are you worrying about your shoes for? You don't got clothes. Oh, but I got my shoes. I put my shoes on? You know? So it's a sota. She'd wear her fine jewelry with her clothes tattered and everything else. You'd think it's a great humiliation? The rabbis say, Kamash Malon, the Chiddush is that her jewelry is removed. Why? Because the jewelry still would enhance. And therefore, we take it off. Because then we might have thought maybe it would make her less than that. Okay, there's another little piece we can do. Just another small piece. Then it says, well, what do you do to make sure her dress doesn't completely come off? Then we bring a rope of palm fibers and you tie it right above. In other words, first you make a grab, like you rip. If it comes off, it comes off. But then you put it back on and you wrap the top right on the top with a rope of palm fibers. Gemara asks, does it have to be dafka be palm fibers? What if you just got a rope or something? So boy mine, the Gemara asks, a Shaila Rav Abba asks from Rav Huna, Chevel Mitzri, this is called a Chevel Mitzri. The fact that it has to be palm fibers, is it she'akev, mahu she'akev, is that an essential part of the sota procedure? Does it be dafka have to be that type of a rope, palm fiber rope, or would any other rope be essential? So is the issue mishum shelo yishmatu begadam elahu, is the rope primarily so that the clothing won't slip off of her? Is that the reason? If that's the reason, then any rope would work. Or maybe, and therefore ubitzilzel katanami sagi, then even a small bet would be okay. It doesn't have to be a palm rope. If the whole point of the palm rope is to keep her dress on, then I could probably use anything. Well, Dilmer perhaps knows a different reason why it's the palm rope. Mishum to Amar Mar, because the master said, he chagra lo bitzilzol. She girded herself for him with a belt. I guess that was a fashionable or whatever, where she was probably wearing a nice fancy belt. So now we do the opposite. Lefika koin mevi chevel mitzri. Therefore, the koin brings a rope of palm fibers. Ve'koshel olamala midaden. He ties it above her breasts. And this is one of the ways she's punished measure for measure. And it's, in other words, a very undignified type of belt. Pedafka. And therefore, ma'akev. And therefore, would hold us back. You have to, mamish, use the palm fibers. Okay? So, let's take a look at the notes. Certainly, the Bryce's reason for using a rope of palm fibers is valid. And this is why it is surely preferable that a rope of palm fibers be used. The question is whether this is the primary reason that they bring rope. Do they seek primarily to hold up her dress and incidentally use a rope of palm fibers to add a degree of degradation? Or are they primarily interested in degrading her with a rope of palm fibers and therefore tie her torn clothing with it? What's the main reason in the supplementary? If the primary reason is to hold up her dress, Then when no rope, then obviously you'd want palm fibers. What if we don't have any palm fibers? Do you have to go out into the palm forest and cut some down? Okay, we'll just use a rope that's over here. Right? If the primary is to overdress, there were no rope of palm fibers readily available, the Kohen could simply use an ordinary belt. But if the primary purpose is to the greater measure for measure, the Kohen must make a significant effort to procure a rope of palm fibers. That becomes the difference.
What's the measure? What did they say she had a belt when she went with
She probably wore a nice fancy belt when she's...
But if she did, it's not measure to measure.
No. But it's the generic idea. Again, it's in other words, it's fashionable. It's nice to have
it's
a
like
nice belt.
Like
If she's cavorting around with this guy, she's going to dress really nice. Yeah. And part of that is a nice belt. So now we give you a yachi belt. That's all. I mean, women spend a lot of money on belts now. They have fancy dress with fancy belts and buckles and you know whatever name brand is on the belt. It's a whole thing, right? So now, can you imagine? Imagine if a woman, okay, let's say your wife shows invited to chasana, right? And you go to your wife, listen, I got a beautiful belt to give you. It's palm branches. She's going to say, Shelly, I ain't going to that wedding if you're going to make me wear those palm branches, right? So now that's the question. Does it have to be dafka be palm branches or not? Amar Leh, the answer of Huna replies, Tani Tuha, we learned in a braisa that will resolve the issue. The braisa goes a little bit more detailed. It says, V'achach mevi chevel hamitzri. It says specifically, brings a rope of palm fibers for koshel amal midadel, and it's tied on top of her breast. Why? And now it gives the reason. Now it has two options, to embarrass her more or to keep her clothed. The Mishnah didn't tell us any reason. The Bryce is giving us a reason. The main reason that her clothing should not slip from her. So that becomes the primary reason. Of course, we'll have a palm if we want. If we can also embarrass her a little more, that would also be good. But if we don't have it, we will even use it without the belt.
Is this contradictory, Rabbi? We turn clothes off so that she's been exposed.
But not forever. Not forever. Not the whole time.
So
one time is enough for 1 second. It's plenty embarrassing. Everybody's standing there. How long do we have to see her exposed already? She's exposed for a few seconds. Everybody's like, oh. And now the Kohen takes the branch and lifts off her dress and then puts the... It's been enough. It has to be more minutes. There's a limit as to how much humiliation she has. What?
That means any rope. Yeah.
At the end of the day, the preferable is the palm branch. But if you don't have the palm branch, then you can use anything else. Okay, we're going to stop over here for today and we'll resume on...
Monday?
No, it's Yontif. Chol Hamoed Wednesday.
So it's a week from now.
Chol Hamoed Wednesday, although I'm not davening here, because I'm going to daven at an 8 o'clock minyan at Nussbaum's house. They're going to make an 8 o'clock minyan for those. You can go to that one.
Yeah.
You can come here with me. I'll give you a ride.
Yeah.
Okay, so Wednesday.
So we come here after class.
You're going to have, and Ron's going to lane. You're going to daven at 6 o'clock.
Right.
And Ron Becker's going to lane.
Here.
Yeah?
Okay.
And I'll be here at 7:20.
Okay. So we don't have to go to Nurma.
You don't have to go there, but you guys are davening here.
Yeah. Okay.
But he davens afterwards, Earl.
All right,
so then I'll take him to Nussbaum.
Okay.
And that would be a good shidduch.